Welcome to everyone tuning in from around the world. This is Henrik Palmgren. I hope you're having a good day. RedEyesCreations.com, that's the website, ready on much more on fascinating and important topics. We've been following the disclosure issue for a while, as you know, if you're a regular listener. And we have a new development on this front that possibly could lead into some new territory. On September the 22nd, 2011, Stephen Bassett from the Paradigm Research Group, the PRG, submitted Disclosure Petition 1 to the White House under their We the People project. On November 4th, the White House responded, and this has now spurred the PRG to submit yet another disclosure petition. This one is called, basically, number 2, the Rockefeller Initiative. If this second petition receives 25,000 signatures within 30 days, this is by March 22nd this year, 2012, it might be instrumental to help to end the truth embargo, as Stephen Bassett calls it, regarding an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race. No matter what side of the fence you're on when it comes to official disclosure on the UFO ET alien question, this is an interesting program. Stay with us as Stephen gives us the details. Welcome back to Red Eyes Radio, Stephen Bassett. Good to talk to you again, and thank you for coming on the program once more.
My pleasure. Happy to be with you.
Absolutely. You bet. This is an interesting issue. You've been, of course, our listeners who are familiar with you and your work have been following this for quite a while now, the issue of disclosure, of course. But to lay the groundwork, Stephen, why don't we just go back quickly to September 22nd last year, 2011, and talk about that first disclosure petition. We're going to focus on the second one here today, but lay the groundwork for us. What happened during the first one and so forth?
Yes. The White House initiated a project called We the People on the White House website back in September 22nd. As soon as Paradigm Research Group learned about it, it devised a plan to utilize this to advance the disclosure process. And, of course, the disclosure process is the worldwide effort that is now underway to get the governments of nations to finally, after 6.5 decades, acknowledge that we have an extraterrestrial presence from somewhere, most likely other star systems, engaging us, and maybe engaging us for a very, very long time. This would be a big event, a very big deal, and so this movement is underway, and this opened an interesting door. So a petition was submitted to the White House through their project, We the People, on the 22nd of September. Under the rules that they lay down, you have to get 150 signatures on this petition through the direct link, and once you have those, it's published to the internet, it's published to their White House site for all to see. The petition went up in the morning. We had 150 signatures in an hour. And in 4 days, we had 5,000 signatures on this petition. Now, this petition was carefully structured to first initiate the issue with the White House. And that, it read as follows. The disclosure petition one said, we petition the Obama administration to formally acknowledge an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race. And to immediately release into the public domain all files from all agencies and military services relevant to this phenomenon. And then there's a little more information. That's the key position that is at the center of all this. Acknowledging this ET presence and starting at the beginning releasing the files. We got the 5,000 signatures that was required to initiate a response. It was a very low number. Very shortly after the petition began, or the We the People project began, they increased that to 25,000. They received thousands of petitions. We think somewhere between 10 and 15,000 petitions in the first 30 days. So they raised it in order to avoid having to respond to thousands of petitions, I can appreciate
the right.
In any event, this petition met the initial requirements. It eventually received 12,000 signatures. And so something happened that is very important, that most people don't really understand how important. Most people don't even know that it's taken place. In that on November the 4th, the White House responded to the disclosure petition. And this response, which is still up on the White House right now and will be up there indefinitely until they take this project down, was remarkable for a number of reasons. But it was essentially a hard line. They came back with a hard line, harder than I expected. But let me read you the key, just the first two paragraphs of this nine-paragraph response. It came from the Office of Science and Technology Policy, which is the Executive Science Office, Branch Science Office, which is headed by Dr. John Holdren, who is the science advisor to the president. Thank you for signing the petition asking the Obama administration to acknowledge an extraterrestrial presence here on Earth. So you see, it's unambiguous. They're responding directly to the key issue, which is what we wanted. And then the key statement. The U.S. government has no evidence that any life exists outside our planet or that an extraterrestrial presence has contacted or engaged any member of the human race. In addition, there is no credible information to suggest that any evidence is being hidden from the public's eye.
Wow.
Well, what can I say? You know as well as I do, and millions of Americans more every year, that this statement is completely false. And more than that, it's indefensible, which is to say that if a member of the administration were to go on camera, on cable news or whatever, and, quote, try to defend that position, their formal position now, with any of the key researchers or activists, they would be useless. They wouldn't have a chance. The evidence for an ET presence is massive. They say it's nothing, zero, and never has been. There never has been evidence. So what happened here was that on November the 4th of 2011, for the first time since this issue explodes into the public's mind and awareness in the late 1940s, the executive branch of the United States government finally put in words a formal statement about it. This is the first time it has ever happened.
How, Stephen, often do they actually respond in such a way to a petition like this? Is it commonplace that they get back to you when you do this?
No. As of right now, we think it's been 4 months since this project began, the White House project, We the People began. And in that 4 months, we think they've received something in the range of 15,000 to 20,000 petitions submitted. Of those 15,000 to 20,000 petitions, approximately 400 were able to achieve the 150 signatures required to be published on the White House website.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, people submit the petition, but they don't have the means. They're not structured where they can generate awareness and interest.
Right.
But at least they're petitioning. And of those 400, 49 have been responded to.
49, okay. Mm-hmm.
49. Yep. One of which is the disclosure petition one. Now, so the first notable thing is that we now have for the first time in writing a formal statement by the executive branch regarding the ET issue. And that's essentially a stationary target. You can't run from it. You can't pretend you didn't do it. There it is. So now if we can break that statement, if we can show to the media that that statement is false, then the media very likely is going to be very interested to know what is going on here,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the media is tricky, but they don't like being lied to directly. They don't like having absolute lies being put under their nose from a mainstream institution like the White House, like the executive branch of the United States government. They don't like that. So fine, that's the first notable thing. The second is that this petition, the disclosure petition one, and the White House response that came on November the 4th received more media coverage around the world than all of the other submitted, posted petitions combined in September, October, November. So the media is clearly covering hundreds of articles around the world, many languages, news, video clips on shows and what have you. So the media is definitely paying attention. So that is what happened back in late September through to November. And that response, the petition, the initial disclosure petition, and the response from the administration is still on the White House website, where it can be viewed by people from around the world. So
there we have it.
Next, yes, go ahead.
Just wanted to ask you how, obviously we're going to move on here now because the campaign, if you will, that you guys are raising awareness to, the petitions is ongoing, but just very quickly though, Stephen, how would you best break down their argument, this statement from the government that we've been talking about, by using their own, paperwork? There are so many files, blanked out, censored pages from within the government itself that is pertaining to the UFO phenomena in one way or another, but how would you go about it?
There's many ways. There's many possibilities. Whether they understand this, whether they consider this, we don't know why they issued such a strong statement. It's not clear. It's very interesting, though. The evidence which contradicts that statement is abundant, and we can use it in any number of ways. The first tactic of PRG is to go right back at that statement with the petition process itself. Keep it tight like that. So the plan in this instance, the first attack on this, is to submit a second petition that challenges directly the statement by the White House, disclosure petition two. And it's not just any issue, and it's not just any approach. It's very, very interesting. Let me explain.
Yeah.
Well, I think the easiest way would be let me read to you, your listeners, disclosure petition two. Now I'll read it, and then I'll give you the background of why this is important. Now, this is. It's much more significant than people may get right away, but you'll know why in a second. Disclosure Petition 2 was submitted yesterday, February the 23rd.
It was a few days ago since we put up the show, so we're talking about probably a week, not even that time.
Yes, of course.
But that's fine, Stephen.
Yeah, Disclosure Petition was submitted on February the 23rd.
Yeah.
And it reads as follows. We petition the Obama administration to immediately investigate UFO ET disclosure efforts during the Clinton administration, the Rockefeller Initiative. Now, I invite your listeners to listen very carefully to the descriptive info that accompanies this petition on the web, and is on the website now, and will be on the website at least through March 23. And available to be seen by media around the world, by anyone in the United States government, anyone in the military intelligence community, and what have you. In other words, it's on the White House website right now.
Yep.
The Obama administration has formally stated the U.S. government has no evidence that any life exists outside our planet or that an extraterrestrial presence has contacted or engaged any member of the human race. Quote, unquote. If true, what was Clinton's Office of Science and Technology Policy investigating from March of 1993 to October of 1996 in concert with billionaire Clinton friend Lawrence Rockefeller? And here's the key paragraph. Those who knew and have not spoken publicly of this initiative include President Bill Clinton, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, Obama Transition Chairman John Podesta, Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta, Vice President Al Gore, and Governor Bill Richardson. And then underneath that, confirming documents, and then two web links. These two web links are important because they have at these sites the documents obtained from the Office of Science and Technology Policy in the year 2000, which confirm and prove the assertions in this petition. Now, let's think about this for a second. Essentially, when the Cold War ended, not long after the Cold War ended, in 2 months after President Clinton was inaugurated, Lawrence Rockefeller, who was a friend of the Clintons, supporter of the Clintons, and a billionaire, approached the Clintons' Office of Science and Technology Policy, believing that with the Cold War over, we could possibly now finally move ahead on getting the information out about this phenomena. And he approached the administration through the OSTP, requesting a meeting with Clinton, requesting a report to be created to send to him, as well as a letter to the president, to along the lines that Clinton would start releasing all of the files and investigations of this phenomena would be reinstituted. We would get back in the open about it, since nothing supposedly was taking place since the end of Blue Book in 1969.
Right.
Well, this is a very significant thing. If you look at how politics is covered in every little thing that happens, particularly if it's unusual, the press seizes upon it. This was a significant story. Not surprisingly, the press stayed away from it. They knew about it, right? But they didn't want to touch it because under the protocols, I guess you could say, of the truth embargo, you just don't cover that. Just like back in the Kennedy administration, you just didn't cover his affairs that he was having, and he was having a lot of them. Mm. All right, so one article was written about it in the New York Daily News, and that's about it, nothing else. So for the next 3 years, this, quote, investigation is going on. Meetings were held at Rockefeller's ranch by a number of researchers, most of which are still alive today. Data was collected. Presentations were made. Eventually, a report was developed and eventually became a book called The Best Evidence by Don Berliner and Antonio Linnaeus. 3 years this goes on. And then it ends. Late 1996. Not uncoincidentally, during that period, from March of 1993 to the fall of 1996, the Clinton administration came under relentless attack from every direction you can imagine, but certainly from the right. They went after everything. There was Whitewatergate. There was Travelgate. There was Porkbellygate. There was, I'm trying to remember them all. Endless, Troopergate, and on and on and on. The right wing got a lot of money from Richard Mellenskaith and created the American Heritage Foundation and an Enterprise Institute specifically to put more pressure on the administration. And every effort was to destroy the presidency and get him out of office. I believe, and most people, anybody that lived through that time remembers a lot of this. Eventually, of course, they did get him on the Monica Lewinsky scandal, and of course, he was eventually impeached. Mm-hmm. But this all started back in 93. I happen to believe there's a whole hidden story behind the Clinton administration that has never been told. And that is that when the military intelligence community, those who run the ET issue, who manage it, right, learned that Lawrence Rockefeller had turned up at the White House wanting to pursue this issue, they were absolutely apoplectic. Why? because the military intelligence community did not respect the president. They did not like him at all. He was a draft dodger in their mind. He was a pot smoker. He was a womanizer. He was crude. He was from Arkansas. He did not serve in the military, and on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And right. They, in no way, did they want that president to be the disclosure president, to be the president that was going to somehow bring this out to the public.
Hmm.
And I think that is one of the reasons why the administration came under such unprecedented attacks, to keep him contained and bottled up and use up his political capital. But, of course, this story, this aspect has never been addressed or investigated, but I have a very strong feeling about it. So there's serious things going on here. This, and of course, the attack on the presidency of Clinton had significant political implications and foreign policy implications and on and on and on. The hidden story, but understand, you know, that's the nature of the extraterrestrial issue. It's all hidden.
That's right.
It's all disguised. Mm-hmm. And the American people are left to fend for themselves to try to understand what is going on with my country. All right. So let me make it clear. This is a big deal. And the only reason it didn't become a really big deal is because the press elected not to cover this, not to get into it. None of the principals involved, none of the people that knew about what was going on at the very highest level of the administration has ever said a word publicly about it, or have they been asked a single question by the media. And that would probably be the case now, except that in the year 2000, Canadian researcher Grant Cameron, who was aware of the Rockefeller Initiative, filed a Freedom of Information Act request of the OSTP for all documents pertaining to UFOs, extraterrestrials, to Rockefeller. And for whatever reason, he got them. Because the FOIA is not really that useful in a sense. You can, if the government doesn't want you to have a document, you can file all the FOIA requests you want. You're not
right. There's no guarantees you're going to get something.
Yeah, they totally control the process. But in this case, he got the documents, 1,000 pages confirming the Rockefeller Initiative from its inception to its conclusion.
Was that an accident? How did this happen?
To this day, we don't know. I can tell you this. We don't know, but here's something we do know that your listeners may find interesting. One of the reasons that those documents were provided to Grant Cameron was that under the law at the time, the Office of Science and Technology Policy, which is in the executive branch, was not included in the Presidential Records Act. Now, the Presidential Records Act was created to deal with the papers, documents of the executive branch, the president's branch, right? And so those documents and papers were handled differently. The executive branch documents under the Presidential Records Act would then go from the White House to the National Archives, where they would be held for a certain length of time, and then they would be placed in the president's library, and then you would get the documents there. And I believe at the time there was a 12-year time frame on it. In other words, they would not be available until 12 years after the president left office. So mm-hmm. That's how you got a lot of the presidential records, a lot of the stuff that went on in the White House was through that act. The OSTP was not included in that act, and so it could be approached via the Freedom of Information Act. Okay, well and good. After Clinton left office and George Bush came in, one of the very first things he did, I mean, we're talking in the first days of the administration, is he changed the rules by executive order and put the OSTP under the Presidential Records Act so someone like Grant could not get those files again. He also changed the Presidential Record Act itself to make it more difficult to get files from the executive branch in general. And just for the hell of it, he tossed in his father's vice presidential records as well. Interesting. One of the things, now, 8 years later, one of the things that President Obama did in the early days of his administration was to pull the Office of Science and Technology Policy out from under the Presidential Records Act, back where it was in 1993. Are you following this? You see how interesting this is?
Yeah.
So why those documents were provided, I don't know. However, at the time, Grant provided a full set of documents to me, and I provided sets of these documents to a couple major newspapers, including the Washington Post. They had no interest in doing the story. Wouldn't touch it. Then, Grant Cameron set up his very, very important website called PresidentialUFO.com. PresidentialUFO.com. This website is the largest compilation of information regarding the intersection between the UFO-ET issues and the American presidency in the world. And it's very, very significant. And it has a large Clinton section. And in the Clinton section are the narratives describing a great deal of what was going on at that time.
Now, there's one thing I want to address here before we move on. This is very interesting stuff, of course. And that is to do with the initiative then that Lawrence Rockefeller took. He got help, obviously, from Bill and primarily Hillary Clinton. We have the, I think we discussed this last time too, we have these photos, obviously, of Lawrence and Hillary walking together there at the ranch in Wyoming, and there's some interesting photography evidence in terms of the book she's holding in her arms, etc. We can certainly talk about that later too. But the initiative, though, was this private in a way from Lawrence himself, meaning that this is not under the official auspice of the U.S. government, the White House, administration at the time? Or how was this handled officially, do you think?
This was official. It had to be, because it was going on in the Office of Science and Technology Policy. That is the science branch of the executive office. So this is an official engagement of the White House with the ET issue. And as you pointed out, in addition to meetings held at by researchers at Rockefeller's ranch to discuss strategy and how that they would, engage the administration. In the middle of the Rockefeller Initiative in 1995, President Clinton and his wife visited Rockefeller, where they discussed this initiative with him at his ranch. And nothing that the president and the first lady do when they leave that White House is private. We have the proof of that. We even have the photos of course, Clinton at the ranch and Hillary at the ranch, including Hillary walking around the grounds with Rockefeller. So, in other words, this is all documented, which is more intriguing as to why the press still won't cover. Well, right, there is a reason why the press had heretofore not covered it, and that's the point of what we were doing now. And, of course, I think shortly your listeners are going to finally understand how important all this is, why that is. So, back around 2001, I also put up on my website, this is at paradigmresearchgroup.org, in the Rockefeller Initiative section, I put up, not seven, nine and a half years ago, 173 of the key documents regarding the Rockefeller Initiative were put up on my website, along with other materials, photos, links, to give the press particularly a very easy way to access this and see what's going on. And so you have your document links, and of course then the thumbnails take you to the documents. And they're laid out in chronological order, and that's been up for 9 years. And I have sent out numerous press releases and other things bringing the press's attention to that page and those documents a number of times. They wouldn't cover it. And the reason they wouldn't cover it, under the sort of understandings that exist out there now, the protocols of the truth embargo, I guess, which are just in place. They don't have to be reiterated. They don't need to get reminders. They just sort of know you don't cover that stuff, right? Is that if they did, the truth embargo regarding the ET reality would probably collapse very quickly. In other words, this is a weak link in the chain. I call it the Achilles heel of the truth embargo. And so they had to stay away from this. And generally they did. Except last September, the White House opened the door when they started that We the People petition process. And now 4 months later, the second phase of PRG's effort here is now fully underway. And the Rockefeller Initiative is now brought back out into the public domain. It now sits on the White House website itself, including the links to the documents for all to see. And if this petition obtains 25,000 signatures by March the 23rd, under the White House's own rules, they will have to respond to it. And I can assure you that is not going to be very easy. And so this second petition, disclosure petition to the Rockefeller Initiative, very much has the potential to bring the end to the truth embargo. And of course that means disclosure, and that means the acknowledgement of the extraterrestrial presence by the United States government. That is what is going on here. Now, as of now, I believe the petition is up to about 1,100 signatures. Let me check it again.
Pretty close already. Moving very fast, obviously. Yeah.
Right. And that's in approximately, it's up to 1,700 signatures. And that's in the last about 14, 15 hours. This petition was rolled out with a lot more media, a lot more structure than the first time around, which obtained about 12,000 signatures. In this case, I deliberately waited quite a while. I mean, originally the idea was to get this out in January, but I waited quite a while until I could obtain an interview on Coast to Coast with George Norrie. And that finally came for last night. So as soon as I learned a few weeks ago that I was going to be able to get the first hour of George Norrie, then I set up to put the petition out that day. And so, first of all, the petition goes out yesterday, or went out February 23rd, and then I appeared on George Norrie that night to explain the petition to his audience of several millions, so that this thing would get off and running very, very quickly. In addition, PRG has signed up with Official Wire, which is a global news service and press release service. And so on the 23rd, press release regarding this went out to 200,000 media venues around the world, as well as we're aggressively using social media like Facebook and Twitter, and the central website, which is disclosurepetition.info, disclosurepetition.info.
Mm-hmm.
So we're off and running here.
That's right. Really good stuff. And obviously, everyone who is in the United States can participate in this. You have the links right there from, we're going to put up the links as well, of course, from our website, so people can just click in easy. If they're curious about this, of course, if they want to find out, if they want to call their government, if you will, on this as well, to get more information about the Rockefeller Initiative, their stance on this, and obviously open up this whole area. ParadigmResearchGroup.org, that's one of the sources, of course, and some of the other sources you mentioned will have those links up as well, of course. There are so many people interested in this topic, Stephen. This should be no problem whatsoever, even with a just cold audience itself, of course, going in there, clicking away, and I guess you're pretty confident you'll have the appropriate amount of the, people by March 23rd, correct?
Well, I want to be confident, but let me expand a little bit more. This petition is not available to just U.S. citizens. This petition can be signed by anybody in the world. It's very interesting. When they set up the We the People project, they did not set it up to exclude non-U.S. citizens.
Really?
Anyone
why is that,
can
do you think?
Sign. What now?
Why is that, do you think? That's interesting. That's kind of a...
It's a very good question. logically, though, there are many issues that have been submitted in petition to the White House that, in fact, are issues that affect people all over the world. I mean, what the United States does has impact everywhere in a lot of cases. We understand that.
True.
So the idea that citizens around the people around the world could also sign to show what their concerns are is not unreasonable. It also is a way of reaching out to the world. Remember, there's a political campaign underway, and the president is going to be running for president his second term. Whatever. The point is, anyone can sign this. And, of course, the first disclosure petition had many signatures from around the world. So that is quite notable. Secondly, I was very gratified that on the February 23rd interview with George Norrie on Coast to Coast AM, George committed that the direct link to the petition would be kept up on the top of the Coast to Coast AM website for the entire 30 days of the petition process, with a running total of the signatures accumulating. That's extremely helpful and is going to provide enormous exposure for that link and for that petition. So do I think we're going to get to 25,000? Yes, I do. Is that significant? It is very significant, because as the signatures are accumulated, at some point the press is going to realize that this petition is going to reach the threshold and will be triggering a response from the White House. And that makes it even more newsworthy. And so it's going to quickly become a global news story, probably even bigger than the first disclosure petition. And that, of course, is exactly what we want. And as they get interested, they are going to take more time, and they're going to go to the links that are shown there, and they're going to start reviewing those documents, and they're going to realize that, in fact, this is a true account of what happened back then. And then at some point, they're going to say, well, we need to be asking Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, John Podesta, Leanne Panetta, Al Gore, Bill Richardson, what happened and what do they know and why did it happen and what is going on? And I can assure you that none of those individuals want to be asked those questions. If the press makes that move, I believe the truth embargo is done. So that is where we are, and that's what's at stake here. History be made through this process very soon.
Very, very interesting indeed, Stephen. For a moment, I want to address the document a little bit, though, here. Lifting secrecy of information about extraterrestrial intelligence as part of the current classification review. This is the title, I guess, in one sense, of the documents that came out through the Rockefeller Initiative. I reckon you've gone through the material. What is in there? If you can give us a little thumbnail sketch, how explosive is it? What can we expect to come out of this, do you think?
There are many things that are embedded in these documents that are interesting and that the news media could get involved in, but two of them are notable. Bill Clinton himself, President Clinton himself, responded to this initiative in two ways. Well, at least two ways that we know of. One is, and this is actually publicly known, he asked his close friend, Webster Hubble, who he had appointed Associate Attorney General of the United States, to look into the UFO issue over at the Department of Justice and see what he could find. Right? In other words, that's Clinton's way of sort of reacting to this, because we're pretty sure that Clinton could not get anything from the military intelligence community. In other words, he didn't have access to this information. The recent presidents haven't. So he actually asked Webster Hubble to do it. So that was a reaction. That was a response in a sort to the Clinton to the Rockefeller Initiative. And Hubble did that. He looked in. He made queries not only in justice. He made queries elsewhere, including, I believe, he contacted NORAD. Coincidentally, perhaps, not long after that, Webster Hubble came under serious attack by the forces that were attacking the entire administration.
Right.
And they really went after Webster Hubble, and eventually he was indicted and convicted and went to jail for whatever, right? So you see, some serious hardball was being played, because this is serious stuff. Then the other thing that Clinton did was that he instructed John Podesta, his key advisor, who was one of the people named in this petition, to come up with a way to expand the ability of people to get documents, to increase the flow of classified documents through declassification to the public. Now, this was not cast as a UFO matter, but we're pretty certain that it reflected a response to the Rockefeller Initiative. It was something he could do, and he did that. Okay? And then we have other things, and then it was John Podesta, who eventually went on to be his chief of staff in his second term, that 18 months after Clinton left office, it was that same person that he had tasked to expand and improve the declassification of documents. It was that same person that went to that appeared at the National Press Club on October 23, 2002, and again on October 22, 2003, and called for the release of all UFO files to the public, because the public had a right to know, and it was a law. I was there for both of those press conferences, and you can see the key 26 seconds of his remarks at the National Press Club. This is actually very famous remarks, by the way, on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and do a search for Podesta, P-O-D-E-S-T-A, Podesta UFO. And many people have, and this is out there. So again, you see, that's another, effect of the Rockefeller Initiative. But Podesta never mentioned the initiative. He didn't discuss it, like it didn't happen. Because again, that would be too risky, too dangerous. He didn't do that. So this thing has been simmering on the back burner of the stove since 1996, 16 years. And then, of course, it got some exposure in 2000 when Grant got the documents. It got some more exposure when Podesta makes his remarks at the press club in 2002, 2003. But the media would not cover it. And now, 16 years later, through the good graces of the White House itself, I have been able to now bring PRG, Paradigm Research Group, has been able to bring the Rockefeller Initiative full circle and put it back under the nose of the political press in the United States, on the White House website, in the public arena. And so if the press, which is getting better and better at addressing this issue, they're covering more and more, they're getting a little more bold every year. If the press goes into this and starts asking the most logical questions, I do not believe the truth embargo can survive it. That's it. We will get disclosure. The government will have to, the executive branch is going to have to send an emissary or reach out to the military intelligence community complex through back channels, through obviously not publicly. And meet with some of those that are managing the ET issue. They're going to have to come together finally, 21 years after the end of the Cold War, and come to an understanding of how President Obama can go before the American people and finally confirm the extraterrestrial presence with their support and access to certain information that would be appropriate to make that move. That is exactly what we're trying to create. And we're well on our way.
Really good. How quick do you think that this process might go? I mean, I personally always go back to, well, I'm with good reason suspicious of governments, how trusting we can be. They've definitely caught lying before, and they've been breaking promises before as well. Why do you think the White House actually would do something about this? And furthermore, they could drag their feet about this for a long, long time yet, correct?
Let me give you an analogy. It's not a perfect analogy, but it's not bad. To give you a sense of how these things go. President Clinton goes into office, and he has issues. He has secrets. But by and large, even then, even as late as the early 1990s, the press was reluctant to cover the private, certainly the sexual life of the president. This goes back to JFK. But Clinton was a little blatant, nevertheless, and so he was coming under scrutiny on this, without question, much more than JFK ever had to deal with. But he was able to maneuver through it, and his presidency proceeded. The attacks on him were relentless, unyielding, nasty, vicious, and heavily funded. And then, in the second term, in other words, they tried to get him out of office. Everything was thrown at that man and his wife and his family to make him a one-term president. But he was he's a very good politician, and he wins the second term. And then, in the early part of his second term, first half of the second term, a woman named Monica Lewinsky happens to mention to a friend of hers, Linda Tripp, that she's having an affair with the president. Linda Tripp goes to a woman named Lucianne Goldberg. Goldberg contacts a reporter. The reporter is given the basic story. A few inquiries are made. The story goes into play. And Clinton absolutely knew that this could be a huge threat to his presidency. And so he then made the mistake of going public in a very famous statement that he made, in which he categorically denied that he had sex with this woman or there was an inappropriate relationship, looking straight into the camera. And by then the press knew it was a lie. And almost immediately a massive media storm begins, a raging feeding frenzy. I was there. At one time, when Lewinsky was appearing in a hearing, or rather a court hearing, there were several hundred news trucks surrounding the entire court in a giant circle. Hundreds and hundreds of reporters, cameras, satellite dishes. And Clinton had no chance. This thing was out, and it was a frenzy, and in no time at all, he was in deep trouble, and ultimately he was impeached. That is the closest analogy I can give you to what we can expect here. If the press engages the Rockefeller Initiative and starts asking questions of these individuals, knowing that they have having the documents that confirms a great deal of what happened, so there's no way these people can say nothing ever happened, and these people either lie to them or try to evade them, it's going to trigger a media frenzy. And I'm telling you, once a media frenzy is underway, there is no power on earth that can stop it. Unless you're a dictator or a Stalin, and you can simply round up all the journalists and put them in a gulag somewhere, never to be seen again, it's no way you can stop it. That is what we're on the threshold of, possibly.
I certainly hope you're right, Stephen.
It doesn't matter what the White House wants or doesn't want.
Yeah. The analogy there, the Lewinsky affair as well, is interesting because it's, as you say, the evidence at the time that was offered was very, very little in that sense. It was just a little testimony in that sense when this is decided to be addressed by the media, and the media seems to act in unison almost in these cases. But what is the difference? So if they've been If the evidence is already there, Stephen, in such overwhelming, case in that sense that they could address it now, they could address it with what's there already, but they're not, meaning there's almost like a central command here telling them, nope, don't address this or address this. Will that still change even though this is now out there? That's, I guess, what I have difficulty understanding here.
No, the analogy is closer than you might think. You see, all throughout the Clinton administration and the campaign leading to his election, there were people that knew about much of these affairs, but they chose not to cover it. Again, the president's private life, but they knew about it. So there was evidence out there, but it wasn't covered. It was sort of an understanding. Same thing here. The truth embargo has been in place for 65 years. It's it's virtually institutionalized. And so these entities sort of know, well, you just don't cover this. For whatever reason, I don't know why, but we don't do that. And if somebody tries to get too intense about it, they're sort of told, yeah, you don't do that, right? Editors, publishers, whatever. It's just that the truth embargo has virtually a life of its own now. It's very similar. But then, when the story develops with Lewinsky, what happened is the press obviously started putting queries into the White House about it, right? So they're actually starting to look into it. They've made a decision to do that. And Clinton then made a fatal mistake. He, knowing that this was going to develop, he comes forward and blatantly lies to everybody. And that's when the press said, okay, that's it, all right? And boom. Well, over the years, I can assure you, there have been queries that have been made about this issue to people in government, right? And they were just lied to. This is going to intensify that situation. So the analogy is not too bad. All I can say is that right now, the truth embargo is in the hands of the American political press. The White House is not able to get access to the information, so they can't move. The military intelligence management groups are not authorized. They're not in a position to unilaterally on their own come forward. You know, they serve the president. The president's the commander-in-chief. And so essentially the military intelligence communities and the president are trapped in a prison of their own creation. In other words, they created this truth embargo, and they're trapped in it. And that's the situation. So how do you break that? How do you break them out of this prison? The key is, in fact, the American political media. If they decide to take this on, if they plunge into this, they break the government out of prison, we get the disclosure. Now, here is how people can be part of this history. It's not hard, and it doesn't cost anything. Millions have already done this since September the 22nd. You go to whitehouse.gov. You select We the People. You go to the We the People section. Select any petition, and it will give you a button that says Create an Account. Because you cannot sign a petition unless you create an account with We the People and log in. You click on that, and it asks for an email address and a first and last name. That's all you need to provide. However, if you want, you can also provide a city and state or a city and country.
So no details about your whereabouts if you don't wish to do so.
You don't have to put that.
Right. Right?
And they then send you an email. This is very typical. We've done that. Most everybody has done this with respect to commercial projects or whatever. They send you an email with a verification link that you need to click and a password. You then use the password to log back in. And once you're logged in, you can sign the petition. When the site's working properly, you can do all of this in a couple of minutes. Once you're logged in, you can sign a petition in a few seconds. Right? That's what people have to do. Go to We the People at the WhiteHouse.gov website. Select Create an Account. Get the email. Click the verification link. Use the password, which you can change. You can go into the account. You can change it to something more comfortable for you. And sign the petition. Millions have done it. We need millions more.
So, basically, what people need to think about is the potential consequences of this as well, about getting some true data coming out from the official world, as it were, about this issue. And maybe we can begin to share some of the data that the government has on this, basically, about the what do you call the truth embargo and basically regarding the extraterrestrial presence potentially on the Earth, or if they have, when they engaged in the human race, maybe more on the UFO phenomena as such. Fascinating stuff, of course. So it's pretty easy, pretty simple, and I hope, just as you do then, Stephen, that indeed the government holds its promise on this. But I'm with you on that page. We shouldn't begin right away, maybe to have a disqualify them in that sense. We could give them another shot, I guess. We could try and see what happens. But I guess what you're saying as well, Stephen, is that people should remain positive, all the to the contrary of what their record has been in the past. Is that correct?
Look, government is government. It's good, it's bad, it's ugly. The U.S. government has made huge mistakes. It's going to make more. Whatever. The world we live in is, in fact, we are a planet with a civilization, and there are other planets with other civilizations. And we're being engaged by some of them. That is the world we live in. That is the reality of it. And it is unacceptable that the human race is being lied to about that. It was unacceptable when the Catholic Church lied to their flock, as it were, and tried to convince them that the new cosmology that was emerging was a lie because it offended the Catholic Church's doctrine. That was a huge mistake, and the Catholic Church has apologized for that. And they even killed people in order to, quote, protect that lie. This is not the way you run society, and it is a very, very nasty and destructive path to take, and it needs to end. We understand why it was maintained, why the truth embargo was maintained during the Cold War. We can appreciate the dilemma the government faced, well and good, but the Cold War has been over for 21 years, and now it is time to move on. So, what we have here is an opportunity for the public to significantly influence the disclosure movement and possibly create the circumstances that finally end the truth embargo and bring about disclosure, the formal acknowledgement of the extraterrestrial presence, which will easily be the most profound event in human history. That is what's involved here. After the acknowledgement, then the process will begin. It will go on for a very long time. That will involve the public, it will involve the government, and it will involve the fourth estate, the press, the media. And over time, between those three entities, we will start to get the information about this, the more detailed information about this phenomenon, its history, the current status, and where it's taking us. And that's pretty big.
It's pretty big, as you say. It's one of the biggest events probably in human history, although it certainly doesn't involve only humans. What a wonderful and chaotic situation that must be when and if we move into that epoch, if you will, then, Stephen. But again, you're doing great work, as it were, to bringing attention to this subject matter and working hard with the Paradigm Research Group to obviously advocate this particular question when it comes to disclosure. I once more, Hedan, want to give out the website addresses for people to get involved before we wrap things up at this time, Stephen.
Yes.
The direct link is disclosurepetition.info. And you can also, of course, go to Stephen's other website, paradigmresearchgroup.org, and find the links directly from there. And it's always good to talk with you, Stephen, and we can only urge you to keep up the great work. If there's anything else you want to mention here right at the end, please go ahead and do so. The floor is yours, Stephen.
Clarify just a little bit. The home base for the petition is disclosurepetition.info, where you can follow the media coverage, videos that are created, and what have you. And at that link, disclosurepetition.info, you can get the direct link to the White House website and the petition itself, right to it.
That's right. It's right there in big at the top. Yep.
And that is the link that we want people to spread. In other words, we want people not only to sign the petition, we want them to spread that direct link through their social media, Facebook, Twitter, on their websites, whatever, blogs, whatever they're doing, and get 10, 20, 30 more people to sign. And then we also ask that when people are at the White We the People section on the White House website, there is a feedback option there, and we encourage people to not only sign the petition, but send a respectful note to the White House saying that I signed this, this is very important, we want you to respond to this in a comprehensive way. In other words, give them a little heads up. They read these feedbacks, and they're very important as well. But key, we need the signatures. That's the key. And so the direct link, which is right up at publicdisclosurepetition.info, and it's going to be all over the internet, trust me, you're going to be seeing it everywhere, is the key. However, anyone can go directly to the whitehouse.gov website, whitehouse.gov, click on We the People, go to the We the People section, and just find the petition. It won't be that hard to find. Rockefeller Initiative, Disclosure Petition 2, and then they can sign it there. So there's two ways they can get there, direct or through the White House. No problem. We need 25,000 signatures by March the 23rd. I'm happy to come back and update you on the progress at any time, and we'll see what happens next. So thanks so much for this opportunity to get this message and this information to your listeners. These are extraordinary times, and this is an extraordinary opportunity.
That's right. Got it. Excellent. Really good. It's very simple. As you say, of course, all the links will be provided from our end as well. And again, it's worldwide, by the way, so anyone on the planet can head in there and sign. You don't have to be a U.S. Citizen or in the U.S. specifically. So that's really good stuff. Thanks again for your time, Stephen. Keep up the great work, as I mentioned before, and thank you for the update.
My pleasure.
That's it for this time. We have much more to come on Red Eyes Radio. Let me mention some of our upcoming guests. Barbara Hand-Klo, Gerard Williams, Carl Munk, Paul Levy, Dean Clifford, James Gilliland, Laird Scranton, David Icke, Robert Chalk, Håkan Blomqvist, Louise Turi, JJ and Desiree Hertak, and Mike Cross, to name a few. You're welcome to tune in again. We'll be back with more shortly. Check out our archives for some great programs, commercial-free radio. Subscribe to our member section for full access to our archives. Have a great day, take good care, and we will talk more soon.